Good morning, everybody. It's good to see y'all. Hope everybody's doing well today. What a joy it is for me to stand before you. So I'm going to go ahead and open up with prayer, and we're going to dive right into this because we got a lot to cover today. I forgot my clicker. I'm going to need it. So I'm going to get my clicker, then I'm going to pray, then we're going to get started. All right, let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I come before you today so grateful and thankful for who you are. Just the opportunity to worship you, Father, to come before you and amongst the group of your believers, your church, and lift you up, Father. And I pray that your church is edified today, Father. I pray that you would speak through me. I pray that we would teach your gospel, Father, because that is the only one that I ever want to be associated with. And so I thank you so much for who you are. For your Son, which you willingly gave to us, who came to this earth and who lived a sinless life, Father. And he lived that sinless life just so that he could die on a tree to be my sacrifice, Father. And I thank you so much for his willingness to go to the cross. And as he went to the cross, Father, he endured that suffering. He died upon that tree and he told us that we must daily take up our cross if we want to follow him. So I thank you for those words. I thank you for that message. And I pray that we would understand what that means. And Father, as I come before this group of believers today, and I do my best to allow them and help them understand what the cross is, I know that I can do no justice to it. I know that I cannot touch what it is, the meaning of the cross, that I can't even come close to allowing them to see how important it is and what a significance the cross is. And but Father, I pray that at the end of today, they would have an understanding of what it means to take it up, and they would fall in love with it. They would cling to the cross, Father, when we're done. And so for that reason, Father, I ask that you would speak through me because I cannot do this on my own. I can have no benefit amongst this group of believers. I can say nothing in my own strength that is a benefit to them, but you, through me, can allow them to begin to understand what it means to take up their cross. You can allow them to see the importance of the cross. And so, Father, I pray that you would speak today. I pray that this would be your service. I pray that this group of believers would be edified by your speech that comes out of my mouth. Thank you for all that you do, who you are. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. What a morning it has been so far. It's been a joy to go through this and deliver it once already and prepare myself. And I was a little bit nervous coming into this sermon because I know it's not an easy one to preach. It is a difficult message. And so I kind of have been asking God all week that he would just be with me, that he would put it together for me, that he would lead it for me, because I can't say these things that I have to say in my own strength. There's just nothing attractive about it. And it's a tough message to give. So I prayed to him and I asked him to be with me. And this morning went well, I thought. It was really a joy. But for those of you that know, we've been going through a series called Not a Fan for about the last 5 weeks. This is the sixth week of this Not a Fan series. This is the last one. We will end it today. Pastor Bob will come in next week, and we will no longer be covering Not a Fan. So I realize some of your small groups are maybe a week or two behind. That's okay. You were still right on track. You're not going to miss anything if we're not teaching Not a Fan Sunday morning and you're still doing it in your group. Finish that, see that through, and grow from it because it's been a fantastic study so far. But today, as I get the privilege to end this series out, I have to comment on how well I think the series was put together. For those of you that are taken, I don't know how many of you that is, but I will admit to you, I was very skeptical when we started the Not a Fan series. Pastor Bob showed it to me. I agreed. I said I like the direction behind it, but I'm not sure how well I think it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be put together and, you know, very well. And I watched the previews for it, and I thought that's not really the way I like to teach. I'm used to kind of taking a section of Scripture, studying it for a long time, and then I put together a 45 to an hour long minute, you know, talk that I give to the youth kids or I give to an adult group that I teach. And that's the way I like to teach, to go verse by verse through Scripture and understand what this means and deliver it. And so when I saw this Not a Fan series, where we're going to be watching like a 35-minute video that's almost like a movie where this guy kind of teaches in the midst of that movie, I thought, I'm not sure that this is going to work. I was very skeptical, but it didn't take long for that to change. In the first video, I saw, hey, this guy's actually preaching the gospel in what he's teaching. And as he preached it, and I listened to it, and I realized that it was convicting to me. And see, that's why I've loved this series so far, because I think anybody, just like anything in life, if you want to get something out of it, you have to put some effort into it. Anybody that's gone through this series and actually put a little bit of effort into it, it forces you to go to a place where you're saying, hey, what does my relationship with Christ look like? When you define that relationship, you're looking and you're saying, is there anything that I haven't given to Him? Is there anything I'm leaving out of that? Is there anything that I've neglected? And you're forced to evaluate your own relationship with Christ. And that's a good thing. That's healthy for us. We need to do that. So in your evaluation, I hope that this has been a beneficial study for you as well. But as we end it today, I thought, what better place to go than the verse that we've used for this whole entire course? The one verse that this whole entire study has been based around that we have looked at, but we haven't looked at it in the detail that we're going to look at it today. It's Luke 9:23. You all know it. Well, I hope you know it by now. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. This is the passage of Scripture that we've been looking at for the last 6 weeks now. Now, in that passage of Scripture, we've jumped to other sections of Scripture to better help us understand that. But this is what our series has been based off of. This is our main text. Luke 9:23. I encourage every single person in this room to memorize it because it is beneficial in even the way you share the gospel. And you'll see that today. I love the way this verse is put together. We've taken a good, solid look at it. We've looked at every section of it. I mean, we've covered the fact that who can come to Christ? According to Luke 9:23, anyone. If anyone desires to come after me, they can come to Christ. We covered that. We've covered what it means, what it looks like to do that. You have to deny yourself. And today we're going to focus on the section of taking up your cross daily. This is what Jesus says to do. If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. So that's what we're going to look at today. This idea of the cross, but in order to understand the cross, we have to understand the passage as a whole. So we need to take Luke 9:23 in all of its context and see all of it together to properly understand what it means to take up the cross. So that's what we're going to do today. And as we've gone through this Not a Fan series, the titles of each sermon have been given to us, and we didn't do them in the exact order, but this one is entitled The Cross of Christ. So today's sermon is entitled The Cross of Christ. But I've given it a subtitle, and that is Beauty or Beast. And I pose that to you as a question. So literally, if you're taking notes, today's sermon would be entitled The Cross of Christ, Beauty or Beast? Question mark. And this morning, I ask you, what is it? The cross of Christ. How do you view the cross? Is it something beautiful or is it a beast? Beauty or beast? It's a simple question, and I want you to think about it. What would your answer be to that question? How would you define the cross? Now, you see, depending on your answer to that question depends on your view of what Jesus is talking about in Luke 9:23. We've read the verse already. He says, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. When he says, let him deny himself and take up his cross, depending on how you view the cross and what you think the cross is, depends on what you think it means to take up your cross. How do you view it? When you're looking at the cross, if you look at the cross as something beautiful, you might have and you think, there's really nothing beastly about the cross, it's beautiful. You may have a different definition than somebody that thinks the cross is more of a beast than it is beauty, of what it means to take up your cross. Depending on your definition, depends on what you think that means. Now, let me tell you this. God's Word is constant. It never changes. So it does not matter what you think the text means. It only means one thing. If you are misinterpreting what the cross is, you're misinterpreting what it means to take up the cross, you may be misinterpreting what it means to follow Christ. Because He said, if you desire to follow me, you have to take up your cross. So you have to know what the cross is in order to understand what it means to take it up. You see, I love the way this passage is put together. Jesus, he says in Luke 9:23, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Depending on your view of the cross, is going to depend on what you think that means. And I think in our culture today, we have beautified the cross. Look at this. This is beautiful, isn't it? We've taken the cross and we've dipped it in gold. And we stick it all over our church. We use it as decoration. You can go to your homes and you have them hanging all over the place. We make them out of stained glass and fill our churches with them. We wear them around our necks. We cover them in as many diamonds as possible. And we say, look at how beautiful the cross is. I think our culture has missed. We've lost the idea and the understanding of what the cross is because of what we've turned it into. And without understanding the cross, you can understand nothing less. Paul said, I come to you not with lofty speech, I preach the cross. Because unless you understand the cross, you don't understand the gospel. And we've beautified it in our culture. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard somebody say something to the extent of, wow, that's a beautiful cross. And they're either talking about a necklace somebody has on, or we draw up these really fancy crosses and then we get them tattooed on us and we think we did something great. And people will be like, wow, that's a beautiful cross you got tattooed on you. Beauty is the new thought we have that comes with the cross. So I want you to think about that. How do you view the cross? Beauty? Or beast. And then that, I want to go back to Luke 9:23, and I want to try to begin to understand this passage as we go through it today. Did I skip one? No, I didn't. Luke 9:23 says this, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. One of the things that I love about this passage is how simple Jesus has laid it out for us. I'm a simple guy. I'm not that smart. So I like whenever he puts things in Scripture that are simple. You can read this passage and see exactly what it means. He says, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He says, here's the objective. On one hand, you have the objective. Anybody that wishes to have this objective, these are the requirements. That's how he lays it out for us. Goal. What you want, if you want to achieve it, what you must do in order to achieve it. All in one verse, we have that. This is what it means to follow Christ. He said, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself the goal, what we want, what we're looking to achieve. If anyone desires to come after me, how do we do that? Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The requirements to meet that goal. Everything in life that is worth something, there's requirements to it. If you want something to happen, there's probably requirements that are going to take place in order for that to happen. If you want to have a happy wife, there's requirements for that. You have to follow Scripture's version of what that looks like. You have to do certain things in order for her to be happy. You want to be successful in, let's say, business? You got to meet the requirements in order to get there. Everything has requirements, and Christ lays it out just like that for us. Those of you that want to follow me, the goal, if your goal is following me, this is what you have to do. It's so simple the way he lays it out. Now, doing it is not simple. But reading what he said is simple. Do this, and you follow. So let's look at the passage, Luke 9:23. If anybody wishes to follow me, let him deny himself. The first thing I need you to understand, this is a place that we have to spend some time in order to understand this passage and what it's talking about, is what's exactly on the wall right now. Following Jesus is the same as salvation. Luke 9:23 says, if anyone wishes to follow me, he must deny himself. And I'm telling you, following Jesus is the same thing as salvation. You say, Jake, why would you point that out? That is so basic. We all understand that. We all know that. We've covered that a long time ago. Do you understand that? Because we say we understand it, but we don't do it. It says, if anyone wishes to follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And we say, I'm saved. I'm just not following right now. You ever heard anybody say that? Or they found salvation. They came to know Christ 4 years ago. They're just not following right now. Following Jesus and salvation are the same thing. I can't tell you how many times I hear people make exceptions to this when it comes to loved ones. Somebody that we care about. Oh, my daughter. She's saved. She came to Christ. She's just not following. My son-in-law. I really care about him, but and he has come to Christ. He's just not walking right now. He's doing his own thing and he's not following. Jesus did not make exceptions. He did not make ways around it. He said, if anybody wishes to follow me, you must deny yourself daily, take up your cross daily, and follow me in obedience daily. Following is the same thing as salvation. So literally what Jesus is saying is, if you want salvation, daily deny yourself, daily take up your cross, and daily follow me. They're the same things. Why? If we understand that, if we know that, why do we consistently make excuses for our loved ones or ourselves? There is no excuse. And we do no good by making excuses for those people. When we say they accepted Christ, they're just not following, that doesn't bring conviction. That's not what they need to hear. It's a lot easier to agree with them and say that. It might comfort us. It might comfort them. They don't need to be comforted. They need to be convicted. How do you convict somebody? With the real gospel. I preached a sermon in here. I don't even remember when it was. But the whole basis of that sermon was the idea of, you want to help produce real Christians? Preach the real gospel. That's what Christ did. That's what we talked about. This plays in. This is what Christ taught. If you want salvation, deny yourself daily, take up your cross daily, and follow me daily. You want to do our job as Christians, the reason you're on this earth, is to spread God's word, to share Him with as many people as you can. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. That's your job. Why you're here. You want to help do that? You want to do that the right way? Preach the real gospel, the way Jesus preached it. Salvation is nothing less than daily denying yourself, daily taking up your cross, and daily following. I can't stress that enough. Search your own life. Make sure that's taking place. Because if you're not daily denying yourself, daily taking up your cross, and daily following, maybe you need to evaluate. See where you're really at. Because He did not leave any room. They're requirements, not suggestions. And it's not a one-time thing. He says that daily, daily, you have to be doing this. Consistently. This is not an easy message to give. Why do you think the gospel was so hard to preach? Why do you think it's so hard to go out and share your faith with people? Because when you're doing it right, it is hard. Who wants anything to do with that message? Deny yourself completely. Take up your cross. And when you understand what that means, that's not exciting. And follow Him. It's a hard message to preach, but it's the only message we can preach. It's the gospel. It's the real one. It's the one that we will be rewarded for preaching. And the one will be punished if we don't preach it the way we're supposed to. I see no more conviction when it comes to the church. I see churches today that are more concerned with numbers and people, and they chalk it up on their saved, how many people said a prayer, and we refuse to preach this. What Jesus wanted us to preach, what Jesus preached Himself. I consistently pray. Consistently, I ask God, I say, listen, God, if you're going to use me, if this is what you want me to do, if this is your plan for me, that I'm supposed to preach the gospel amongst churches, I know you want me to preach the gospel. So wherever I'm preaching the gospel, I pray that I do it in a way that would make you happy, that the way your son did it, it's bold. But if you have me in a church, God, I pray that I would preach it in such a convicting way. I would preach it the way your son preached it, and nobody will sit in my church and be comfortable in their sin. They'll either leave and call me a radical because I preach it in a way that they don't want to hear it, or they'll become convicted by it and they'll have to change. That's the way I want my ministry to go. And that's the way you should want yours to go too. We've been given the gospel. Let's stop twisting it and contorting it in order to please people's ears and give them what they want to hear. See, this is what a false prosperity gospel does. It says, come to Jesus and you can have what you want. Come to Jesus, keep all your other stuff, but accept Jesus as well. And you'll get what you want. And you know what? Their churches are gigantic. People flock to them. They chalk it up as, he got saved, he got saved, he got saved, he got saved. But is anyone actually getting saved? Is anyone actually denying self, taking up their cross and following? That's what real salvation is. And the only way that that occurs is by preaching this message that's hard to preach. You want to produce real results? Do it this way. You won't produce as many results, but you'll produce real ones. And that should be important to us. Let's go back to our passage. Then he said to them all, Luke 9:23, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. We have to look at that for a second. What does it mean to deny yourself? He said, Jake, I thought this was a message on the cross. This absolutely is a message on the cross, and we're getting to the cross. But we have to look at what it means to deny self in order to get to taking up your cross. You see, nobody that is not willing to deny themselves can even come close to understanding what it means to take up your cross. Nobody. In denying yourself, you will take up your cross. But you can't take up your cross without denying yourself. It's impossible. So you have to understand what it means to deny self. Self-denial is the first essential. Literally, what this means is you are disowning yourself. Disowning oneself. Disassociation with yourself. Has anybody ever been so disgusted by somebody's actions or the way that they live their life, or they claim one thing yet they do something opposite, and you get to the point where you just don't associate with them anymore? You want nothing to do with them because either they're a bad influence or they claim one thing and live another way, and it disgusts you, and you just completely disassociate yourself with them. Has that ever happened? If you're a follower of Christ, it should have happened to all of you in your own life. You should disassociate yourself with who you once were. I can't stand the old Jake. I want nothing to do with him. Disassociation to myself. Denial of who I was. This is what it's talking about. Nothing less. Nothing less than saying, I can't stand the old Jake and anything that he ever did. There was nothing that was that I can count as anything but rubbish. I despise who I once was. I despise myself in the flesh. It's denial of who I was. I can't tell you how many people I know I've grown up with, I went to school with, who act like complete idiots. They do things that are so stupid. And then when they claim to have come to Christ, they say, I am so thankful for all the things that I used to do because it's turned me into the man that I am today. I hate when I hear that. I hate the things I used to do. Everything that I used to do was rubbish. There's nothing good in me. I disown who I once was. That's what it means to follow Christ. You disassociate with your former self. And it's a must. It's a requirement, not a suggestion. We have to get to that point. We have to understand what that means. Nothing to do with the flesh. It is no longer Jake's desires, Jake's ambitions, Jake's dreams, Jake's goals, Jake's future thoughts for what's best for his family. It's none of it, but Christ. What do you want from me? What do you see me doing? What's your goals for me? How can I be of service to your kingdom? I disassociate who I once was, and it's not I, but Christ. And it's the first requirement. We have to get here. We have to understand this. I beg you to understand this. I'll give you an example. I doubt you can read that. Philippians 3, 4 through 8. So we will turn to it. I'm going to go quick, but Philippians 3, 4 through 8 says this. This is Paul's conversion. You guys know who Paul is, right? This is Paul's conversion, and he says, "Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so." In other words, confidence in the flesh. You guys think you have confidence in the flesh? I, Paul, have so much more to be confident about in my flesh than you do. This is what he's saying. 5. This is his list of accomplishments in the flesh. Who he was in the flesh. Circumcised the 8th day. Of the stock of Israel. Of the tribe of Benjamin. A Hebrew of Hebrews concerning the law. A Pharisee concerning zeal. Persecuting the church concerning the righteousness which is in the law. Blameless. He goes through this list and he says, "Me, in my flesh, I have so much more to boast about than any of you do in your flesh. Look where I come from. Look at my past. I'm from the tribe of all tribes. I was circumcised on the 8th day like it says I should be." He goes through the whole thing. "I was a Pharisee. I understood the Old Testament. I persecuted the church." You're like, wait a minute. Persecuting the church, that sounds like a bad thing. You have to understand why Paul was persecuting the church. He was so sold out to what he believed, to what he thought the Old Testament was saying. And he knew the Old Testament. The problem is he was looking for Christ to come and overthrow the second coming of Christ. He completely missed the first coming of Christ. So when Christ comes, claims to be who he is as Christ, he says, "That's blasphemy. You can't call yourself God." And he was so sold out to what he believed that he gets paper so that he can go and persecute the people that are following that because he doesn't want to see them follow somebody who's falsely claiming to be God. Now, Christ really was God, and he opened Paul's eyes, and you saw that passion turn from what he thought was righteous passion to what really became passion that he should have had for making disciples. But he gives this whole list of things that he does. And look in verse 7. "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ." This whole entire list that he says I have to brag about, what I am in the flesh, that if anybody wants to brag about their flesh, it's me. Look at all the stuff I have. He says it's all lost for Christ. Denial of self. This is what it looks like. Anything Jake accomplished in his flesh was useless. It was rubbish. I count it loss for Christ's sake. Let's look at 8 because he continues on that. "Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered and lost all loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." Rubbish. This is what he was in his... This is what he considered his flesh. You say, what about the good things I accomplished before I became a Christian? I mean, before I was a Christian, I cared about the poor. Before I was a Christian, I was concerned about people that weren't as lucky as me. I gave to the homeless. It's all rubbish. Nothing you can do in your flesh, in your own strength, is any good. You deny yourself completely, totally, 100% for the sake of Jesus. Why? Why do we deny ourselves completely every single aspect of what took place in our flesh? Romans chapter 7, verse 18. "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, in my flesh." Nothing good. That was Romans 7, 18. And it says, it does not leave any room for misinterpretation. There is nothing good in your flesh. In your own strength, who you are without Christ, in your own flesh, you can do nothing that is worth anything. It's all rubbish. So deny yourself completely. It's the first requirement for following Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, 13. This is a pretty popular passage of Scripture. A lot of you may know it. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." I want you to understand what this passage is saying. Jesus comes and he says, enter by the narrow gate. And then at the end of the verse, he says, narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. In other words, he says, enter by the narrow gate. It's extremely difficult. I don't want to enter the difficult gate. I want the easy gate. I mean, when you first hear that, are we not programmed to say, if this is more difficult than this, I'm going with the easy one? Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. Why? Because wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And broad is the way that leads to the destruction. And there are many who go by it. Narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. What is the gate, church? I ask you, what is it? Jesus Christ is the gate. Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. He's encouraging us to do this. In John chapter 9, Jesus says, I am the door. Enter through me. In other words, enter through me, and it's difficult, but it's the way to life. Jesus says, narrow is the gate. I am that gate. Enter through me if you want life. You want an example? There's a guy named the rich young ruler. We just talked about him a few weeks ago in here. You guys have all heard of him before. You know what the rich young ruler did? He searched and he searched and he searched and he searched and he searched all the way until he found the gate. You know what happened? He got to the gate and he couldn't fit through it. He wasn't willing to deny himself. Jesus says, it's a narrow gate. You want to fit through this narrow gate? You have to deny yourself completely. Luke 9:23. Those who wish for salvation must deny themselves. Those who wish to follow me must deny themselves. Those who wish to enter through the narrow gate must deny himself. The rich young ruler couldn't do that. He got there and he said, I want Jesus along with the other stuff that I have. Sounds a little bit like the prosperity gospel. Sounds like what we have going on in those churches. I want Christ along with all my other stuff. And Jesus said it doesn't work that way. You know what your problem is? You care too much about yourself. You love your stuff too much. Go sell it all and give it to the poor. In other words, he was saying, deny yourself completely if you want to follow me. It's not your dreams. It's not your ambitions. It's not your goals. It's not what you think's important. It's not what you've gained in your flesh. It's all about me. Deny yourself. And he goes away sad because he cannot fit through the gate. This is what it means to follow Christ. I'm not sugarcoating it for you. There's nothing easy about it. But you must deny yourself completely on a daily basis. You know, the rich young ruler, he wasn't able to deny himself and fit through the gate. There is no way he would have been able to handle the next step, the next part that comes along with it. See, because Jesus says, come to me, I'm the gate, enter through me. Narrow is that gate, so narrow you have to deny yourself completely in order to fit through it. But then, that's not all. Because as soon as you get to that point, as soon as you realize how narrow the gate is, Luke 9:23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. He says, congratulations, you found the gate. Deny yourself completely so you can fit through it. Oh, but wait a minute. There's a beast of a cross that's in your way. What does it say? Narrow is the gate and difficult the path. It doesn't say narrow is the gate and then once you get through it's easy. Narrow is the gate. You search till you find it. You deny yourself completely because it's narrow and there's a cross in your way that you must pick up daily if you're going to travel that path. It's a requirement, not a suggestion. You get there and you're forced to take it up. It's your only option. Those of you that want salvation, deny yourself and take up your cross. So once again, what is the cross? Beauty or beast. Without a proper understanding of what the cross is, we are lost. We've beautified the cross in our day, and therefore we've missed the understanding of what the cross is, what it means to take up the cross. You see, you have to understand who Jesus is talking to in this passage. He's talking to a bunch of Jewish people. A group of Jews, and they had not yet seen Christ crucified. I want you to keep that in mind. Because when we think of crucifixion, if I said crucifixion, everybody's mind instantly goes to Christ. He's our poster child for crucifixion. He's the one we think of. It's the only crucifixion we really know of that we spend a lot of time looking at. Well, at least on like Good Friday we spend some time looking at it. But that was not in their minds yet because that had not yet happened. And you have to remember, Jesus tells the apostles over and over and over again, he says, I, the Son of Man, have come to die. I have come and I will give up my life. He's telling them what's going to happen to them and they don't get it, remember? So when he's talking about taking up the cross, they're not thinking of him going to the cross because they still don't understand that that's going to take place. They're thinking of the cross, the only thought that comes along with the cross in their day, which is suffering and death. Horrible suffering until death. That's what the cross meant to these people. Just because Jesus hadn't been crucified doesn't mean that they haven't seen crucifixion. There's a lot more. This was a popular form of death that took place at the time. And it is a safe assumption to assume that every single person had seen it, the ones that Jesus was talking to here. They had seen crucifixion before. I was doing some study, and as I read through this, there's a first century historian, his name is Josephus. And Josephus is one of our, if you want to read some examples of what crucifixion was like, he's the one to read. He in more detail than anybody else I could find, talks about some forms of crucifixion. And he gives us some stories. But see, he tells us some things over 100 years before this took place, and Jesus was here talking to these people, 800 Jews were crucified in one day. 800 Jews hung on crosses and crucified in one day. And he writes this out and tells you about it. This is what the Jews thought of when Jesus says, take up your cross. Or there's another one. He writes about another one. You guys remember Herod the Great? You have Herod the Great in Scripture. And after Herod the Great's reign, after he dies, there's a revolt that goes on, and that revolt results in the Romans crucifying 2,000 Jews at the same time. They lined the streets with crosses and hung over 2,000 Jews on them. And Jesus is speaking to a crowd of Jews, and he says, if you want to follow me, take up your cross. And they're like, wait a minute, the cross? That only means one thing to me. They think back to their ancestors, to the ones that lived before them that were all hung on those trees. To the people that they had seen living through that horrible suffering until death. That's the meaning of take up your cross. And it means nothing less. We've tried to make substitutions for it. We've tried to turn it into something that sounds a little bit more inviting. But there's nothing inviting about taking up your cross. It is a hard call. It's what's required of following Christ. You want the goal? You want salvation? These are the requirements. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. It's right in the way. You can't get around it. You must shoulder it daily. It's what it means to follow Christ. There was no beautification of it in that day. And in our beautification of it today, I believe what we've done is changed the meaning of what it means to take up your cross. Because, you see, I hear people say things all the time like, oh, I'm in ministry And I love ministry because I get to work for God. But in my ministry, I really don't make a lot of money because that's not what pastors are called to. So because I don't make a lot of money, I don't get to drive the car that I want. My car's 4 years old. I don't have a brand new one. I'll just take up my cross and bear it. Or, wow, do I love my wife. She means, I don't have a wife, but man, I love my wife. She means so much to me. I care about her. But you know what? Her family drives me crazy. But since it's Easter and we got to go visit them, I'll just take up my cross and I'll bear that. And that sounds funny, but I've heard people say things like this. We've lost an understanding of what it means to take up your cross. We've given it these trivial little inconveniences. And we say, I'm following Christ because I'm bearing my cross. I'm going to see my mother-in-law. That's not at all what Jesus was talking about. Your minor inconveniences are not what He meant. When Jesus calls us to take up our cross, when He says it to these people, it means the same thing for them that it means for you. And what it meant to them was horrible suffering, even unto death. And this is what we daily must do. God, I come before You today, not with Jake's goals, not with Jake's dreams, not with Jake's ambitions, but I come with You. What do You want for me? What is Your plan for your kingdom? How can I be used by You? I want to preach Your gospel, God. Take me to where I can preach the gospel, even if that means I die for it. Even if they throw me in prison, even if they beat me, I don't care what they do to me, Father. They can do nothing to me to compare to the greatness of You and Your kingdom and Your gospel. Father, if people can hear the gospel by You taking my life, then so be it. I take up my cross because the gospel is more important to me than my life. This is denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. That's what it looks like. Father, I come before You and I die daily. I pray that You would use me at the cost of whatever that may mean. If that means my life, so be it. If that means my family, so be it. If that means my dreams and what I want for my life, so be it. I want You to be glorified. And this is a daily commitment, not one that you make once and then live however you want. Following Jesus and salvation are the same thing. And He calls us to daily deny ourselves. Daily take up this beast of a cross. And daily follow in obedience. Like I said, it's a hard message. It's not one that people like to hear. But it's the one we're called to preach. It's the one we're called to give. And I pray that you would understand that. I cannot tell you how many days I come in here and I have my plan for what my day is going to look like, what I need to get accomplished, what I feel I need to get done. And I go up to my office and I sit down and I try to start my mornings with prayer when I get in there. And as I sit down, I maybe open up God's Word and I start praying and I start asking God to use me and how, you know, if that He would guide me as I put these studies together and that He would show His Word to me. And as I get going through that, I end up praying for the youth and the people that I spend time with. It. I try to pray for every single youth of this church every single day. And as I do that, I cannot tell you how many days I sit up in my office and I bawl like a baby. Tears. I can't help holding them back because I care so much about the kids of this church. Yet I don't think they have any clue what it means to deny themselves and take up their cross daily. They claim to know Christ, a lot of them, but I don't think a lot of them understand how hard that call is. The seriousness that is behind that. And it's not just our youth. It's the adults. There's adults in this church that I feel the same way about. I passionately want you to understand it. And because of that, I pray for you. But there's nothing easy about it. And if I give it to you in a way that makes it sound easy, I'm not doing my job. I'm not called to tell you what you want to hear. I'm called to tell you what God's Word says. I pray that we would examine ourselves. Look, really understand. Say, God, am I denying myself daily? Am I taking up my cross to the point where I am willing to suffer for you, no matter what the cost? That's what salvation is. You will suffer if you're going to follow Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Not some of you. All of you who desire to live righteous in Christ Jesus. Not may suffer persecution, will suffer persecution. This is what it means to take up your cross. To suffer persecution for the sake of the gospel. It will happen. So unless you deny yourself daily and daily take up your cross, you won't be able to handle that. And you're not truly saved. I beg of you, church, to understand this. Acts 20:24. "None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself." My life doesn't matter. It's not dear to myself. You can take it away. Because I deny myself. I take up your cross and I'm willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel. Galatians 2:20. "For me to live is Christ, yet to die is gain." It does not matter what happens to me in my life. If I die, it's gain. Use me to spread your word. 1 Corinthians 15:31, "I die daily." Matthew 10:24, "A disciple is not above his teacher." I love this verse. I've heard a lot of people misuse this verse. It says, "A disciple is not above his teacher." This is what Jesus says. You know what happened to Jesus? Literally, what he's saying here is, the way they treat the master, the way they treat the one you're following, is probably the way they'll treat you. How did they treat him? They tortured him until he died. He suffered. You will suffer if you're going to follow him. According to 2 Timothy 3, chapter 12, you will suffer if you're going to follow him. You have to daily take up your cross and be prepared for it. It's a requirement. The cross is not a past place of substitution. This is one of our misinterpretations. This is something that we've grown to not understand. Because Christ came and He died on the cross and He took my place. He substituted for me. The cross is not a past place of substitution. It's a present place of execution. You daily take it up. Deny your old self and crucify who you once were upon it. This is what it means to follow Christ. This is what it means to have salvation. To fulfill these three steps. Take up your cross and follow. And finally, understand this. That we carry the cross with joy, not with sorrow. You say, "You just painted a picture of the cross that is so beastly. Now you tell me to pick it up and carry it with joy?" That's exactly what I'm telling you. Because that's what God's Word tells us. You will suffer for the sake of the gospel. Endure that suffering with joy. Count yourself worthy that you can partake in the suffering that was His. If you're going to follow Christ the real way, if you're going to live and be sold out, you're going to suffer. Endure that with joy. Now I warn you, Christ has not called us to go try and be martyrs. I mean, when I preach the sermon, it says, you will suffer, maybe even unto death. And that's the case. You might suffer to death. What He doesn't do is call you to go do something stupid so that you get killed on purpose. That's not the call. But it is saying, live sold out. And if that means you are killed for what you believe, if that means you're killed for being sold out to the gospel, then so be it. Look at the apostles. They all did it. A disciple was not above his teacher. The teacher was killed. The apostles were all killed. If we're following in the footsteps of Christ like they were, I'm not saying you're going to be killed, but I am saying you're going to deal with persecution. Daily shoulder your cross. It's the only way. It was a requirement. There's no way around it. And we carry that with joy. Romans 5, chapter 3 says, we rejoice in our suffering. Colossians 1:24, I rejoice in my suffering for you. Philippians 1:18, it does not matter my situation or my outcome. Christ gets preached, and in that I rejoice. That's paraphrased, obviously. But he's saying, I'm in prison, I don't want to be in prison, but I don't care what happens to me. They can kill me for all I care, as long as Christ gets preached and glorified through my body. Daily taking up your cross, that's what it looks like. 1 Peter 4:13, rejoice as you share Christ's suffering. God, thank you for counting me worthy to endure the suffering that you endured. To suffer like you did. This is the gospel message. James 1:2. Count it all joy when you fall into trials of various kinds. Take up your cross with joy. It's a beautiful thing when you understand what comes with taking up your cross. See, this beast of a cross that stands right in the way, that you find the narrow gate and you say, great, I got to carry that thing. I got to be willing to suffer, even if it costs me my life. That's beast. But you count it all joy and you realize that if you want salvation, you must take it up. And it becomes a joy. It becomes a joy to suffer for the sake of the gospel. It becomes a joy to deal with it. And there's beauty behind that suffering. So I leave you with the same way we started. The cross of Christ, what is it? Beauty or is it a beast? You must take up this beast of a cross, but carry it with joy and see the beauty that's in it. Let's pray. God, I thank you for who you are. Just a chance to deliver from your word. Father, I thank you that I don't have to rely on myself to come up with messages. I just preach what your word says. And Father, I thank you for how effective that can be if we're willing to open up our hearts, if we're willing to listen, if we're willing to realize our need for it. Father, make us followers of you. Allow us to understand that you've given us requirements and there's absolutely no way around them. So instead of trying to dodge those, I pray that we would take those head on. We would understand those, that we would willingly deny ourselves. We would take up our cross daily and we would follow you in obedience. Thank you, Jesus, for the example that you led. Thank you for your apostles who also led in that example. And may we lead in that example to others that see us, Father. It's in your name I pray. Amen.